To use a wintry metaphor, Advent is like a snowball rolling down a hill. Every year, as the season progresses, Advent builds in volume and speed in its unstoppable rush toward Christmas. It is a season of waiting, but now, by the fourth Sunday, this year just 2 days before Christmas, it has become a rather busy sort of waiting. I'm sure all of us who still have gifts to choose and wrap, food to buy and cook, can relate. And for sure it was a busy time for Mary. We are told in today's gospel that she, pregnant with the Christ child, went with haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And so our hope, our preparation, and our anticipation come to fruition in this story of these two pregnant women greeting each other and connecting through their shared joy, amazement, and faith. The visitation of Mary to Elizabeth was impelled by events described in the verses immediately preceding today's gospel that recount the visit of the angel Gabriel to the Mother of God, during which he shared with Mary God's plan for her, that although a virgin, she would conceive and bear a son through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that child would be called the Son of the Most High. Understandably, Mary was confused and skeptical. So to show her that nothing is impossible with God, Gabriel also informed her that Elizabeth, in her old age, was also pregnant with a son, who we know would become John the Baptist. So with this heavenly message brought by an angel on her mind and in her heart, Mary set out with haste to see her cousin. Now, Luke doesn't really explain why the first thing Mary did after this revelation is to journey to Elizabeth. It's not really what a woman in Mary's day would do. And she was, after all, an unwed pregnant teenager. Traveling with haste seems either brave or possibly reckless. So why did she go? The scripture does not suggest that she was compelled to. It was, in fact, her choice. Was it to share her astounding news? Was it to seek wisdom and counsel? Was it to see if Elizabeth was indeed pregnant? Did Mary need confirmation of that, I wonder, in order to truly believe what Gabriel had told her? I imagine that Elizabeth's greeting made Mary's reality seem very real indeed. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth instinctively knew not only that Mary was pregnant, but pregnant with the Christ child. Any lingering doubt Mary might have had, even clung to, after Gabriel's proclamation, surely dissipated in that moment. And Elizabeth's pregnancy itself, as much as her words, made it very clear to Mary that Gabriel spoke the truth. And it was the truth of Gabriel's message that sparked Mary's simple, yet eloquent, and obedient response. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, I think it's easy to mistake Mary's obedience for meekness, but it is her response to Elizabeth's words that dispels that notion. The Magnificat, the Song of Mary, is the canticle sung so beautifully by Wendy that we heard today before the Gospel, though it actually follows today's Gospel passage in the Gospel of Luke and is a response to it. Triumphant, perhaps, joyful for sure, but not meek. The Magnificat is Mary's reaction to the truth of that glorious impossibility, the incarnation of Jesus. The Mag tells us so much about who Mary understood God to be, and by extension, who her son would be, but also about who she understood herself to be in the midst of this sacred chaos. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, Mary begins. Or, as it is sometimes translated, Mary's soul magnifies the Lord. And I'm struck by that word, magnifies. Now, magnify can be taken simply as an expression of praise and joy. But let's consider its more literal meaning. What does it mean to magnify something? A magnifying glass makes things bigger. It intensifies the object on which it is focused, making it clearer and sharper. And a magnifying glass has the power to spark change. Just think of one catching the sun's rays and starting a fire. In her song, Mary claims the truth of what she is, a magnifying glass for God. It is through her and the son she will bear that God is made bigger. God's love is intensified. God's mission of justice, compassion, and reconciliation is made clearer and sharper. Mary is the lens through which we see a new inbreaking of the reign of God. And this is what she proclaims, the reversals of human power and status. God has mercy on those who fear from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud in their hearts. God has brought down the powerful in their throne and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The Song of Mary both looks back at God's history with God's people and forward to a time when the birth of Mary's son turns this world upside down. But Mary is not only a prophet. Often called the first disciple, Mary is also a role model as we strive to faithfully follow Christ. Her response to God's call demonstrates what it means to be fully human. For to be fully human as members of a Christian family is to accept that call in our own lives, to seek out the wisdom and caring of our community, to proclaim the reign of God, and above all, to love with our whole beings, as much as Mary the mother loved her child, for it is through that love that the world is transformed. By rushing to Elizabeth's side, Mary reminds us that salvation is not an individual experience, but a shared one. Because even if our conversion starts with a revelation of God to us as individuals, we cannot truly seek God alone. We need others to affirm us, to join with us in our magnification of God's greatness, because I think we each hold a piece of the puzzle that, fit together, brings the reign of God to fruition. Unlike Mary, we are not called to carry the Son of God in our wombs. But we are called, so Mary's song is our song too. In each of us, there is something unique and important that I believe matters to creation, that we are called to share, like Mary and Elizabeth, with each other and with our Creator. We are each of us a gift of God. My prayer for us as the snowball of Advent careens down the proverbial hill is that this assurance is a source of some comfort and calmness amid the busy chaos of Christmas. And may the themes that have marked our Advent season, peace, joy, hope, love, linger throughout the season and the years to come. Amen.